We greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your speaker is Johnny Horn of Atchison, Kansas. And I'm going to ask you to turn with me, please, to the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. And I'm going to especially emphasize a verse that we have frequently read to you, but we're going to break it down just a little bit and pass on to you what we are sure will be of real interest to you if you are a child of God, and ought to stir you up in a very special way if you are still a stranger to grace and to God. Now, in the opening verses of this second chapter of the Epistle to the Ephesians, Paul, our apostle, is reminding these Gentile sinners. They were, of course, now saints, and he addresses them as such as he opens up the very first chapter. But they were at one time dead in trespasses and in sins and in a distance, a great distance from the God of heaven, but a work had been wrought in their behalf. And so we're going to show you that a people who were so far off and so helpless and so hopeless were exalted to the very highest possible place in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to see how it was wrought out in their behalf, how it was accomplished, and how, too, it would be accomplished for you today if there was the slightest degree of desire on your part. For thank God there is hope. Now, we are not, of course, trying to infer that people hope that they'll get to heaven. No, no. If you're without Christ, you're positively without hope, but thank God you could be saved with a present and an eternal salvation. In all the value of the spotless person and the perfect work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now shall we see how these Ephesians, who were Gentiles, and so far, so very far from God, and you know the hymn writer puts it in words like this, so far, so very far from God, that of course is what we were by nature, and then he goes on to say, so nigh, so very nigh to God we could not near be, for in the person of his Son we are as near as he. But now the verse I'm going to specially stress is verse 13, where we're going to see how this greatest of all transactions was brought about. Ephesians chapter 2, and I would advise all my listeners today to read the entire chapter. And then, of course, verse 13 is what we're going to specially emphasize. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, I'd like to break up the verse just like this. But now, that is the present. In Christ, that is the place. Ye, the people, who sometimes, and of course that refers to the past, were afar off, that was our position in nature, are made nigh, that is now our present portion or our possession, by the blood. That was the price that it cost our blessed Lord Jesus to accomplish for us redemption and to bring us into the place of nearness to himself. And then he goes on to tell us, by the blood of Christ. That was the person whose precious atoning blood was shed. Oh, how this rejoices the heart of the speaker today as he goes over this verse and thinks of it. You know, it's a wonderful thing to take a little retrospect. That is to say, all who are really saved have a past. And while it is true, we likely are ashamed of our past and many of the things that we did in our unconverted days, but it is a good thing to remember exactly where we were and what we were, because we were sinners, dead in trespasses and dead in sins, with rebellion in our hearts after the Christ of God. That was our past, and certainly something for which we thank God has been blotted out, and blotted out eternally by the blessed Son of God. But you see, there are again those who think of the salvation of God as something that's all right for old people who are at the end of the road and about ready to pass into eternity, or it may be all right for children, but for young folks or for those in the busy years of life, well, it's just something that could possibly be cumbersome and maybe of no value. You're mistaken. For my Savior said when he was here, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, And all these things shall be added unto you. If you want to see, know, and enjoy life, then of course it's found alone in our Lord Jesus Christ. But I would have you think of the very first words of that passage we read. But now, says somebody, then is salvation something that would enrich my life at the present time? Yes, it would enrich your life now, and it would enrich you for all eternity with the true riches, the riches that are found in our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we shall notice a verse. I shall at least just quote it to you, because you see that word now is a very important word. And so the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Romans in the 5th chapter of the Epistle to the Romans, in verse 9, he says, much more than being now justified. And you know, it's wonderful to be justified now. Now justified, he says, by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. And then he goes on a little bit further to say, and not only so, not only are we now justified, he says, but we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You think that would make a man or a woman unhappy? To be now justified and to have now received reconciliation because of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ? I tell you no. Now then, come with me, please, to Ephesians 2 and verse 13, where we read, "Not but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Let's look at it now this way. But now, that's the present. In Christ, that's the place. Ye, the people, who sometimes, and that of course is the past, who were afar off, that was our position in nature, just as sons and daughters of the human race, belonging to the Adamic family, we were afar off. And then he goes on to say, but are made nigh. That's our present portion. Yes, thank God, that's the portion of all who have experienced the salvation of God, who have exercised faith in his work and his work. They who once were afar off, we who once were afar off, are made nigh. And then he tells us how it's all brought about by the blood. Now that's the price. That's what it costs. And then of Christ, that's the person. Yes, the precious, precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the days in which we're living, money is of very little value. We talk about millions, we talk about billions, and so on. Projects that cost millions or billions of dollars, and it doesn't mean very much. But when you speak of what it costs to bring a sinner from the place of distance nigh to God, and you know, we say sometimes, so nigh, so very nigh to God, we could not nearer be, for in the person of his Son, we are as near as he, just as near as Christ himself. And then it's all because of what he gave, himself and his precious blood that was offered up upon Calvary's cross. That's the price of our redemption. And you know, sometimes we speak about what it really costs to bring us from the place of distance, of death, darkness, into the family of God and to make us his very own. Well, I'll tell you what it cost. It cost God all that he had. It cost him his only Son. It cost my blessed Lord Jesus Christ his own precious life's blood. He could twirl worlds from the tips of his finger, but he could not, by an act of power, save sinners from the thraldom of sin and of Satan, and bring them into the place of nearness to himself. He must forfeit his own life. That's the price. That's what it costs. And as we have said, it cost God all he had. It cost my blessed Lord Jesus Christ his own precious life's blood. Now, if you expect to get into the good of what has been accomplished at the place called Calvary, and if you expect to be brought into the place where these Ephesians were, to whom Paul addresses himself in that 13th verse, but now ye in Christ Jesus, who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ, it can only be brought about by an act of simple faith in the work and in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're saying, I'd like to know that in my life and in my heart and my soul's experience here and now, I'd like to be able to speak with such definiteness and positiveness with relation to God in eternity. Well, you'll have to get to the Son. Now listen, you can never get to the Father's home until you get to the Father's heart, and you can never get to the Father's heart until you receive His Son. That's the way to the heart of our God and our Father, those of us who are saved, and to His very home. It's via the Son. Oh, if you've never appropriated Him, if you've never received Him, wouldn't you like to kiss the Son today, lest He be angry with thee, and ye perish in the way, be reconciled to God. And then you'd know the truth of what we're saying here, and you would be in that group, once afar off, dead in trespasses, dead in sins, and then you'd be able to say, well, thank God, it now is true in my experience, once afar off, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I wonder if you have had such an experience. Do you remember when you was far, far from Him? Do you remember when there was a distance immeasurable between yourself and a holy God, and you wondered how that gulf could be spanned? And then you learn, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Yes, the love of God expended there to bring you to Himself. We thank God for the death of His dear Son. We thank God for giving Jesus to die upon a cross of shame, that we might be brought nigh to God, and eventually, yes, soon, to the very Father's home, be with Him in life and forever and ever. Trust Him today, and this salvation and experience will be yours. Now, if you enjoyed what you've been listening to, we'd like to get a line from you. Good News Hour, care of the station to which you're listening, or Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas. Meantime, may you be abundantly blessed of the God of heaven, is our daily prayer in your behalf.